Welcome back, everyone, to Anger, Sadness, and Envy, the RampantSea.net podcast. My name is Nargajan. I'm the webmaster of Bungie Fansite and RampantSea.net, and I'm here today with Miguel Freewheel Chavez, Bungie's number one fan.
Hello, hello.
And Blackstar of Blackstar Productions.
Hi, how's it going?
And Cody Miller of High Speed Halo.
What's up?
And we're here to talk about the latest reveal of Bungie's new game called Destiny. And we really don't know too much yet. We've known about the name for a while. Bungie had a special event where they announced for the Xbox 360, and a few days later they participated in Sony's event where they announced the PlayStation 4, and they've now announced the game for PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4. But we're going to talk a little bit about the event that Bungie had and their participation in Sony's event. So item one is public relations. How little is little enough? Did Bungie's reveal leave you wanting more in a good way or a bad way? How much were you expecting to hear about Destiny right now, and did you get more or less than that amount? And did these two events combine to make you want to pre-order Destiny? And if so, why or why not? Cody, why don't we start with you?
I guess it left me wanting more, just in the sense that there was a lot that I still have to figure out, particularly how they're going to pay for the game, how it's going to be structured. Is it really an MMO? They say it's not. I mean, how's it going to be different? I guess in that regard, I did want more. But in terms of actually being interested in the game, in terms of purchasing it, I didn't pre-order it because I'm not really going to buy this game, because it's just not the type of game that I'm into.
Okay. Blackstar.
Well, I'd have to say that the only information that I was anticipating at all was a little bit more, because Bungie has a history of not really revealing everything or anything for that matter. I just expected, similar to what we've had exposure with Halo over the past couple of years, where they basically throw out a little snippets or a little piece or a little something. But even that ends up either being changed or dumped or altered in some way, shape, or form. So my expectations were not really very high at all, because pretty much by the time it actually ships, it may be completely different. The only information that gave me pause was the term magic, when I heard them talking about integrating that element into combat scenarios. And considering I'm a shoot, reload, repeat type player, anything that gets too complicated, that, you know, it's not that attractive or appealing to me as far as enjoyable gameplay. As far as the amount of information that came, first the animations with the production stills that they had, that they had put together in a little vignette, and then the larger video that you saw at the PlayStation 4 demo, I actually saw both of those on the same day. So for me, I didn't have that same, well, wait a minute, this isn't enough, I wanted more. And then later, you know, people were somewhat satisfied with that. So I didn't get that same feeling that a lot of others had. As far as the game and the information that was given, it does interest me enough, especially after seeing the PlayStation 4 demonstration. It interests me enough to want to pick it up and try it. As far as actually trying to, you know, pay ahead of time for the game, It wasn't that revealing enough where I just had to be the first online to get it. So I didn't pre-order. I'm not a big pre-order type player anyway.
Okay, Miguel.
My thoughts are evolving, or my feelings are evolving, much like a lover. Bungie has been my lover for many years. It was a disappointment initially, because they hyped it as, this is our reveal, we're going to tell you what is what we're doing. And basically the reveal was the equivalent of a marketing pamphlet, which I think for the press and for folks who are not really aware of what's going on with Bungie might be enough. But I think for the diehards, it was a little bit of a letdown. It obviously, with time, as we saw within a week, things kind of changed when they revealed more during the PlayStation 4 event. But that initial reveal wasn't really much of a, didn't give me enough to really go by. But That doesn't mean that I'm not still interested in the game or that I'm probably going to end up buying it, because it does sound like something compelling so far. I haven't seen anything really that's telling me it's not, you know, it's not going to be something which I would play. My initial reaction would kind of centered more around how everyone else was kind of oohing and aahing over that first announcement. And that's what kind of turned me off, was how everyone was thinking it was this great game. And really they only showed like maybe 5 seconds of actual gameplay of some sort. You know, so that's where I guess I think I stand now. I mean, Matt Sell, who's formerly of Bungie, wrote a nice little diatribe against folks who were expecting more, and that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because it made it sound like as if, you know, why would you expect more from the gaming press? My answer to that is like, if you're gonna swim with sharks, you better be ready to get bit. So, you know, if the problem is that game journalists are not to be trusted, then if you join them, you know, bring them on board, then don't complain later if folks are not so hot on what you showed. But I think now with a couple of weeks now of time since the announcement, and whenever this podcast will get released, we've been given snippets here and there, so. It's looking good. I'm curious how it's going to play out over the next year.
Yeah, everybody needs to be wary of those hard-hitting games journalists. Get to really be careful there.
Right.
I would say I think Bungie's done a pretty good job so far. I guess I was not really expecting very much yet. We didn't have any solid release date. I thought it was still pretty far out from when we would be getting the game, so I wasn't expecting to see much. So, you know, I was pretty satisfied with what we did see. It's true, we haven't seen anything you could call gameplay. We've seen some in-game footage. Some of it involved shooting a couple guns, but not gameplay, of course. And I haven't pre-ordered, but again, just because I also just don't do that. I haven't found that it's necessary to get, in order to get your hands on the game pretty early. And, of course, being on the other side of the world, I have to have things shipped to me anyway, so it doesn't really, whether I pre-order or not, really doesn't affect how soon I can get my hands on a game. Okay,
no. There's no GameStop in Kazakhstan.
As it happens, no.
And that even if there was, there won't be one there for long anyway.
That's where the meteor hit.
No, actually, that was a town in Russia that's close to the Kazakh border, but still very far away from me. Anyway,
right.
Item two, selling out to Sony. This is going to be the first title from Bungie released on a Sony platform for quite a long time. The last one was the Port of Oni done by Rockstar. Are there any downsides to releasing on Sony's new platform? What's all this betrayal thing that people are talking about, people who are Xbox fans and Halo fans? What do you think of the idea of exclusive DLC for one platform? Because we've already seen announced that there will be playable exclusive DLC for the Sony PlayStation 4. Is cross-platform play between the Xbox and PlayStation a necessity? And which platform are you planning on buying Destiny for, given that we already know for sure it's going to be out on Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, most likely the new Xbox whenever that gets announced, and maybe even PC, starting with Blackstar?
Well, to be honest, if it was available for the PC, I may even go for that and forego the console. And as I mentioned before we started the podcast, my six-year-old white 360 has recently RODD'd. So if it's only going to be a PS4 exclusive, or there was some element or major technical advantage to a PS4, I may be in the market eventually to get one and decide to go with that platform of choice. Because as a 360 owner, I've really only kept to Halo, the series, and a few other random titles. There's no other big gaming attachment that I have to any one particular console or another. And I have a pretty fast Hackintosh. I can play many things too. So I can go with any system. I'm an equal opportunity, system user. But as far as the exclusivity of only having PS4 material that Bungie makes for it, that would be somewhat disappointing. I would think that'd be kind of a bummer for people who are 360 fans and users and have only gone with one particular console for whatever reason, or may have a large investment in 360 games and don't want to have to pay for a whole new system just to play this. That would be kind of a bummer for some people. I don't think I'm in that type of market, but I can understand why people out there might be upset. Anytime that you get in with a particular brand or you know, manufacturer thing, you tend to have some brand loyalty for a while simply because of your investment. So that might be kind of a bummer. I'm sure they want to do it to sell more PS4 consoles. I mean, obviously they want to, you know, get their name out there as not being just a 360 and Microsoft title maker, which they have been for the past decade. So that's kind of a big thing for them too. I can understand why they would want to. But yeah, as far as that goes, yeah, I'll play it on anything just to see how it is.
Okay, Miguel.
Yeah, I'll play it on whatever happens to be handy. I already own a PS3. I own an Xbox 360. You know, I'm not platform like evangelical at all. Just whatever happens to be around and happens to offer the best options. Xbox Live is a pretty rock solid platform for multiplayer. So if part of what the PS4 offers is a revamp of that, something that kind of matches that, that would be kind of appealing. And I don't really care about DLC or any of that stuff. I'm pretty much a purist when it comes to that, to those kind of lures. I think what you're getting at, Narc, is like, what, why is there all this whining? And I think, you know, amongst us here, we all know this kind of makes our eyes twitch. This is a rehaul of the back when Bungie went from Mac PC to Xbox only.
Right, the MS riots.
And it was the same exact BS back then. And Bungie said back then what I'm sure they're saying now: we're just developing on the best platforms out there for what they want to. Reveal, you know, maybe there's a bit more of a capitalistic slant now that they're like independent, and it obviously makes more sense if they can spread this new 10-year franchise. They're under Activision, which is also platform like agnostic. It, you know, it exists on several different platforms, so it really doesn't bother me at all. I mean, I guess the only thing that would annoy me is if revealed over time, if one platform starts getting less attention paid. So if you invest your $100 or whatever into your PlayStation 4, and then for whatever reason, you know, a year or two down the line, they decide that they can't maintain multiplayer or, you know, releases of some kind or another, then yeah, that would be the only burn that I could see occurring. But right now, there's nothing that really justifies thinking of that, of either Xbox or PlayStation, and then there's also the rumored of going PC, which also means Mac then in some way. So
maybe who knows? Do you have more friends on your Xbox Live list than your PSN list? I mean, right now, if those are your two choices, which would it be if you had to pick between the pool of players you wanted to play Destiny with?
Definitely the Xbox. I don't do anything on the PlayStation that does multiplayer. I mean that I have any sort of ongoing relationship with other players.
Okay. Cody?
It actually bothers me. I mean, I know it's not a big deal for you guys, but it just bothers me because, you know, I feel that unless there's a technical reason why a platform can't get content, then it's sort of artistically dishonest to limit certain content to certain platforms, because, you know, ostensibly you're creating content that you want people to experience that you think is important. So why would you not want to include that for everybody playing your game? If you're Bungie and you say, well, it's okay to release this for Xbox without that content, then in a way you're sort of saying that the content doesn't really matter in the first place. I don't think artistically it's very sound to do that, because you have to consider like the game as a whole, and that every part of the game, you know, should make it better. So why would you even consider having people play without this content that you created? So either, you know, they don't really care about that, or the content isn't that great to begin with, which is just as disappointing. Cross-platform play is not going to happen, so you don't even have to worry about that. And if I were to buy Destiny, which I haven't totally ruled it out, but I think it's unlikely, I probably would either buy it for PS3 or PS4.
Myself, I don't think there's a downside to the new platform. I think basically that any sales that they might lose because of some of the changes they're making, either doing exclusive DLC or the always-on internet requirement or any of the other things that they're doing, are going to be more than offset by access to this whole pool of players that they've been denied all the years they were making just Halo for just the Xbox. I don't think that the fans should have loyalty to a particular platform to go with their interest in Bungie. So Xbox fans saying that they think that Bungie has betrayed their fans because they're no longer exclusive to Microsoft, I think is silly. The exclusive DLC, I think it's necessary to recognize that it's part of negotiating the commercial relationships with these platform holders, that in return for Sony fully promoting the game as much as they're able, you do need to kind of throw them a little bone. I do think it's a little bit silly because I think most likely what you'll get is that it may not be that significant. The Xbox will probably get something roughly equivalent. When they say exclusive, it will probably end up being a timed exclusive because once the game is a little bit old, it will just make sense to release the two pieces that used to be exclusive to the other platforms on all the platforms. I bet Bungie will probably plan for it, so there won't be a technical roadblock there. Cross-platform play, yeah, I don't know. I've never owned a PlayStation, so I also don't have a friends list on PSN the way I have on XBL. Right now, I probably would get it for Xbox 360 and look for the sequels on the new Xbox platform. Who knows? When Microsoft announces their new platform, maybe something about that will change. Bungie seems to say they're pretty committed to bringing as what they called the full vision of their game to both the current gen and the next gen, but obviously there will be some differences. So we have to wait and see what those are, I guess.
Okay. Do you honestly think that Bungie needs to appease either Sony or Microsoft to sell their game? I mean, you're talking about the developer of Halo, which is a huge video game franchise. If anything, it's the other way around. If anything, people should be sucking up to them to get the content on their platform. Bungie's in a position where they can make demands. Like, I mean, they could say, you have to pay us in crisp, unfolded $1 bills. And I think any of the console manufacturers would, get down on their hands and knees and do that. So the idea that they have to appease Sony is just, to me, kind of bizarre.
I would bet that it's not to get the game on the platform. I mean, obviously, I'm sure that, Bungie can get into the developer program for Sony and they can get the game certified and they can get it on the platform. That's obviously not a problem. But if you look at the way Microsoft handles the promotion of certain games in the dashboard and other things like that, I wouldn't be surprised at all to find that Sony has some requirements. It basically says that to get the highest level promotion for your title within their platform, you may need to tick certain boxes. And it's possible that one of those boxes is you should have at least one piece of content that is exclusive to us. Microsoft has certainly done stuff like that in the past in terms of giving preferences to franchises that are exclusive to the platform or on cross-platform titles, having at least one piece of exclusive content. Thus, it's not anything new.
And what would Sony do if they said no? They wouldn't promote their game and then they wouldn't sell it on the PS3? No, it's going to be a huge game that people are going to want to buy. Bungie's in a position where they can make some demands.
I don't know about that. I mean, their sales have certainly been very good and Halo is very big. But for people who are devotees of the PlayStation as much as Halo fans have been devotees of the Xbox, I think they're either an unknown quantity or it's a negative. I mean, you look at the reactions around the internet of a lot of PlayStation fans and a lot of PC gamers. Reactions to Bungie are generally, pretty negative. I've seen a lot of negative stuff, more from the PC side than the PlayStation side. I've seen a lot of PlayStation fans tweeting that, it's great. I'll finally be able to play one of your games, Bungie, because you're finally making it for my platform. So there are plenty of people basically who may acknowledge that Halo is interesting, but they never bought an Xbox, so they've never played it. So I don't know if they're really in that kind of a position.
Accountants and lawyers and CEOs and business, they'll pull every trick they can in negotiating. So, I mean, this to me is just pure capitalism. They'll say, "Listen, can you throw us some DLC?" And I'm sure Bungie could have fought that, but they were like, "This is not a fight we really want to, deal with. We'll just simply, yeah, sure, why not? We'll give you something." And I think what you're kind of hinting at, Narc, is it probably won't be anything all that big a deal. You know, maybe a little something that is a little bit exclusive, but nothing that will significantly change the way the game functions for folks who don't have it.
Yeah, so, at the risk of making a bad reference, I'd be willing to bet that there'll be some exclusive content for the new Xbox that will be, quote, separate but equal.
Right. Yeah, and I think maybe at one point we had said, you know, just wait until the new Xbox is announced, and then we'll see what they've come up with then. I mean, this could just be, again, just a matter of timing.
Yeah. You're lucky they don't sell white Xboxes anymore, Narco Juno. That reference would be extremely disturbing.
Yeah, I have one of each. It's okay. Yeah. Okay, item 3, shared world shooter. Is Bungie's term shared world shooter just a way of saying MMO without saying the word MMO? What do you think of the always-on internet requirement? Do you like online co-op, and did you use it in the Halo games? Mig, let's start with you.
I loved online co-op back when I was playing the game more. You know, Halo 3, ODST. I haven't really done it very much with Halo 4. So yeah, no, that's cool. I don't, you know, I'm definitely a citizen of the internet. I don't have any trouble leaving. I have plenty of things that are on constantly that's on the internet. So I'm not really that concerned. I wonder if there might not be some little bit of wordplay going on there, because as you noticed in that first initial little pamphlet video of theirs, they showed the iPhone. And would that satisfy being quote unquote always on? You know, maybe that's part of it, the social aspect of it.
That, you I know, think maybe that's going to be optional, because I don't think they're going to require that people have a smartphone or some other device. The way I interpret always online means that, you know, on an Xbox, if you're playing the game, you'll have to be logged into Xbox Live to play. You may not have to have gold. I assume silver would suffice, but you'd need to be logged in order to start the game. Well, we'll have to see.
Right. 15 years ago, we lost the floppy drive. That was, I'm sure many people were gnashing their teeth with that, you know. And now we're losing our optical drives. I'm sure many people are very upset. There's your, you know, your state of progress. There are sacrifices that have to be made. Maybe in order to make this experience the kind of experience that they're shooting for, that's what they need. And it doesn't, you know, you can't satisfy it. There are another 3,000 games out there for you to play. Go and like enjoy. Bungie's not for you anymore.
Okay, Blackstar.
I would have to interpret that the always-on internet connection was more security-based, something that they want to maintain to, A, make sure that they are keeping the correct people online like they want to, you know, the same way that they, you know, were dropping the banhammer for the Halo and for several other titles that people were either cheating or attempting to manipulate. So it's maybe that they want to maintain their experience through security. Wanted to make sure that people aren't actually doing this, and if they are, they want to be able to stop them. The other thing is piracy. You know, I got to think that the reason for the always-on connection is for maintaining that the titles that they're, you know, selling to people are the ones being used and not being pirated by third parties. As far as the online co-op, I was definitely interested for the longest time in several titles having, you know, co-op experiences. I mean, I can remember on the original Xbox and being so thrilled when Forslayer came up with this little tunneling application to be able to play a Halo game with someone on the net. I mean, that was amazing back in 2002, 2003. You know, that was stunning, especially on a console. And bandwidth requirements, you can only play with two people, but it was great. So anytime that they could actually get a better online experience with multiplayer, because they had originally talked about having these big, huge open environments, and the technology, unfortunately, they couldn't support it or bring it to fruition. And now maybe they can. You know, and if they have been able to pull it off for these large scale type co-op environments, I mean, it does sound intriguing to me. So that's definitely interesting. But yeah, the whole shared world shooter thing, yeah, MMO, I think they want to get away from that, because once you say that, all the baggage that goes with it gets in people's heads. So I can understand them wanting to stay away from the term. Whether or not it actually is or it isn't, or it's a variation thereof. Again, it's one of those things we'll hurry up and wait and we'll see.
Okay, Cody.
First of all, I'm not very convinced about what it is. I mean, they say that it's not going to be an MMO. They, you know, ostensibly from what I get, you're going to be able to wander the world, and you know, the matchmaking is going to happen behind the scenes, and you'll run into another player who's also wandering the world too. And you know, that's just really uninspiring to me, because you know, I mean, we already saw that in a stupid game called Journey, and it wasn't cool then. And
love it.
Yeah.
I was waiting for that.
So it's like, you know, this isn't a mind-blowing new thing that's going to revolutionize the game industry. So, you know, if that's wrong. What their online if that's what their online interaction is based around, it doesn't really excite me that much. And then I also don't like the fact that you have to always be connected. Well, first of all, you know, Blackstar said it's about piracy, which I don't think that it's primarily about piracy, because console games are pirated relatively little compared to other, you know, compared to the PC. I mean, not everybody for PS3, not everybody has Blu-ray burners, and even for the Xbox, it's difficult to do. So I don't, it would just be hard to imagine piracy being one of the reasons for this.
I was thinking more digital piracy, but you know, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't like having that, because then that means you have to play on their servers. You have to play online. You can't enjoy it on your own terms. You know, you have to play the game the way that their rules are set up to play. And I know we've had a discussion about this before, and we've had a discussion on Destiny Bungie Org about it. But I just think that requiring that the player gives up a large amount of how they can choose to experience the game.
Okay, well, I don't think it's going to be an MMO. I think, Cody, your interpretation of how it's going to work is probably pretty close to accurate, that it is going to be seamless drop-in, drop-out co-op, so that you'll go to certain areas, and those areas will be instanced, and you know, the game may automatically insert some other players into the area with you at the same time. And actually, once you're doing that, once you make it so that you know, the game decides who you're playing co-op with, not you, then I think making sure you can stop people from cheating becomes even more important. You know, because it's one thing to go into a multiplayer match of Halo and find somebody who has modded their Xbox and is cheating on you. But if somebody is basically inserting themselves into your single-player game and doing the same thing to grief you, you know, that would be pretty unacceptable. So if they want to have that kind of experience, then they've really got to make sure that, you know, that they're checking that people aren't modding their game. The always-on requirement, I think it's because they want to have that. I think they want to have the option of putting other players in the world with you to say, look, that's the way our world works. Our world has these other players in it. So it's not up to you to make a lobby and invite some people. Like Journey, it may just happen. What I'm curious to see is what kind of interactions they allow between people once they've done that. Because you bring up the example of Journey. One of the things that people said about Journey was that because the interaction with those other players was limited, it was actually more civil. You know, it wasn't like going in and having, online voice chat with Halo players, where the first thing you got to do is make sure you mute everybody but your own party. People in Journey, you weren't talking to them. You were just had this very narrow channel of communication in game by being able to make an audio signal and being able to see the other person and decide to, you know, travel with them or not travel with them. So, and that it actually became a more civil experience because of the narrow bandwidth between the players.
If they're going to have this huge world that apparently they're going to have, I mean, you're going to get to explore Earth and Saturn and all this stuff, and it's going to be always connected, and they want it to be a social experience, why then would they not embrace the massively multiplayer aspect of it? Why would you do it this way, which seems kind of like a halfway thing?
Because just like with Myth, they probably saw things that they saw in real-time resource management games that they didn't like. And they decided that they had to change things around. They wanted to pull stuff out. So there's probably aspects of MMOs that they're not big fans of. And if you remember, they talk about, they kind of drop hints about, you know, a lot of us don't have the time for some of these, you know, some of these features that people kind of expect now. And I think that's what they're hinting. That's why it's kind of this hybrid.
They're expecting you to play for 10 years. How can they say that?
Well, 10 years and well, 10 years, but not not a nonstop 10 years. So I think maybe what they're trying to do.
You're allowed to take bathroom breaks. It's okay.
Yes, right. Yeah, you don't have to grind and, you know, and then sell your character for make $1,000 because you worked on it for 3 months straight. It'll be something a little different where maybe there's that's the part that's compelling. Like, what is it that they're gonna eventually have to reveal it? Gameplay wise, it feels very, it doesn't seem like all that. I mean, I know that you're not a fan of Journey, but to me, I thought it makes perfect sense if there are these enemies that are coming at the planet or at this group or this clan, and we are part of that clan, then obviously anytime you drop in, there are battles happening. And as you make your way through, you start seeing in a distance other players. And if you decide to go that way, you can meet up with them. And that could be what they were kind of hinting at in that, and when the Sony materials came out and they were kind of showing, look, this is what we're looking for. And maybe that's, but that's just gameplay. What about more of the actual world and your investment of time and, you know, achievements, so on? How will that persist? And that's still the question that's hasn't been answered yet.
There may be technical limitations as well. I think if you look at the MMO FPS genre, generally speaking, you know, if a shooter wants to come out and be tacked on to an MMO-type world, that world usually ends up being presented at a lower level of fidelity compared to shooters that are just single-player only. And it's not just, you know, like multiplayer levels are generally smaller. You're looking at shorter draw distances. You're looking at less complex environments. I think what they're trying to do is make the world seem bigger by adding in the possibility for these other players, not trying to make a single big world where you always have the possibility of interacting with anyone and everyone. I don't think the world's not going to be big enough in terms of actual, you know, square footage to get a reasonable level of population. You know, you don't want it to be like World of Warcraft where you just pop into an area and there's, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in an area and have it to separate into different shards. I think the idea is to give you a hint of it being a broader universe by allowing you to bump into people once in a while. Item 4, Over the Rainbow. Bungie's Halo was a Dayglow extravaganza compared to other standard grimdark fare like Gears of War. Destiny also looks a bit less bold, a little more washed out compared to Halo 1. I see a lot of light bloom in there. And the trend itself affected Halo, if you look at how bright the colors are in Combat Evolved, all the way down to Reach, which looks pretty bleached out. What did you guys think of the look of Destiny's in-game footage so far? Let's start with Blackstar.
To be honest, actually, when I saw the weapons going off, the first thing I thought of was the Oblivion trailer that I saw recently. I don't know if anybody's seen that, but the...
Wow, that is not a positive reference.
No, it's not, but, you know, it's just that you see the gunplay going off. It's like, wow, didn't I see those weapons firing? Oh, that's right, I saw it in a trailer just the other day.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, Oblivion is a trailer for a sci-fi movie that takes place in an Apple store.
I didn't want to give it away, you know, it's a spoiler alert for people who haven't seen it yet. Yes. It's people, you know, set design was done by some iPad and iPhone owners. But yeah, no, it's just the bright white staccato firing of the weapons. You see them running upstairs and jumping around in Destiny. A couple of the different backdrops, I noticed that the area they're calling the Citadel, I thought was a exact copy of one of the original trailer pieces for Halo 2 that ended up getting cut and changed when they were showing to Mombasa. But yeah, no, as far as the gameplay, the only thing that really irked me was the walking in the steps of some of the characters. It just seemed very mechanical, them going upstairs. You get that little popping effect. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen that. I don't know if you guys noticed the trailer. But yeah, that was the only thing that got me. The environment itself, everything seemed very mist and atmosphere laden. There was dust everywhere. It was amazing, the future. We still haven't gotten rid of the smog. But, you know, all the lighting effects and everything to accent it and give it that whole cool thing. It's almost as if this is the particle effect dust flip side to all the lens flares that we're getting and everything J.J. Abrams does. So whether that's a good thing or a bad thing depends on how much you liked it or in it. Other than that, the only thing that really got me that I hoped for was something really alien, something really different, something really strange. And unfortunately, getting a bunch of 6-foot-tall bipeds again. So other than that, it definitely, if the gameplay pulls over, the environments look good enough to me. I mean, I can remember looking back at the original Halo 1 and thinking to myself, wow, this is fantastic. And yet, at the back of my mind, I knew that 10 years from now, we're going to be laughing at how cool everything's going to be compared to this. Well, here we are, what, 12, 13 years later, and we look at the original Halo 1 and Halo 2, and we're like, wow, look how far we've come. So as far as the quality level, it looked good even at this stage, and we've still got, what, a year to go? So I don't know what's going to be different or how well it's going to be when we see some real, you know, live gameplay on a real system in the future. But yeah, there was nothing that jumped out at me that said it's not going to be up to snuff or up to par to what you would expect nowadays.
Okay, Cody.
Yeah, that's kind of my disappointment, is that it just seems on par with what we have nowadays. I didn't really see anything that looked like it was, you know, head and shoulders above everything else. It just looked like anything that, you know, any competent AAA developer can put out. I mean, Bungie is used to wowing people, you know. It was like with Marathon, it had the lighting effects, and you could look up and down, which was, you know, something new for the first-person genre at the time. And then, you know, Myth, it had, like, all the body parts and the blood splatters and the 3D camera. And, you know, this stuff was cool, and it was like your mouth was open. And then Halo, you know, obviously everybody who stepped out of that pod was like, wow, look at this ring, you know. But I don't know, I didn't feel that way when I was looking at Destiny. It didn't really have that feeling of wonder. It didn't have that feeling of, you know, I wasn't in awe, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I get it. And in a way, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, it was just maybe 30 frames worth of visuals that we saw. It nothing really, and it's interesting, the stuff that Blaster was talking about is what I noticed too. The actual character animations were not really anything to write home about. But, and this is again where I think they messed up with the leaving it just to those few frames and not really showing much more. The what they talked about that the game engine can do sounds very, again, compelling, that it will actually be this new type of engine that will do this phenomenal job of showing quote-unquote real-time effects, you know, sunsets, sunrises, all those kinds of atmospheric stuff. And that sounded really, really interesting. I hope they're able to pull that off and show something really cool with that. As I had mentioned in the previous aborted podcast, that something that sounded really exciting is the ability to maybe have like proper times to do your raids and your attacks. You know, you wait until the sun is just peeking down so that it's bright in the opposing camp's faces, and that's when you attack. And you know, people create a reputation for the times that they go out on their attacks. And those all sounded really cool. I mean, but beyond that, the actual few seconds which we saw didn't really say much. You know, I figured, you know, there's more coming.
Yeah, that seems like key for me. If it's going to have those, you know, night and day effects and stuff like that, it's got to be manifested somehow in the mechanics, you know, whether it be, you know, certain enemies are stronger or only come out at night or something like that. I don't know, because, you know, because it's not the first game to do weather effects or night and day. It's not even the first game that has mechanics affected by the weather or by the time of day. So I think if it does that, I would be extremely disappointed if it were only cosmetic.
Mm-hmm. Let's have a tsunami.
I agree.
Okay. I got to admit, they haven't really shown much yet. I guess I'm just tempering my expectations of it, because I didn't really expect to see something this far out, because I was already anticipating that the game was sliding into next year anyway, and it looks like that's probably what's going to happen.
Halo CE was revealed in Macworld 99, so July 21st, yep. 1999. Halo CE shipped November 15th, 2001. Yep. That's 2 years, and the reveal at 99 was not 5 seconds. It was a pretty substantial bit of gameplay. I would say a bit, maybe 7 minutes, 5 to 7 minutes of actual video. So I just wanna lay that out there.
Okay,
that, you
but
know,
they were planning on. I mean, when they made that announcement, they were planning on releasing Halo in less than a year for Mac and PC. And
that doesn't cut into my argument. My point is that they revealed on a day more than just 10 seconds of
yes,
a video. They actually showed a nice chunk of it.
Yes, at a time when they believed they were less than 12 months away from release. So it's to me, it's not the actual time between the reveal and when they actually release.
Did they even believe that? Because, I mean, if you've seen any of the behind-the-scenes stuff or if you know what was going on, it was like the game was not in good shape. And, like, that Macworld thing, it was sort of – it was faked. And the E3 2000, that was also faked. Faked in the sense that it was all scripted. It wasn't really – there was no AI running or anything like that. I mean, the game was not really in a very polished state at the time.
Right, but there was an engine, and there was something that they could that was visible and could kind of at least give you. I mean, you walked out of there kind of knowing what it was that you were going to
get.
Right,
but if you were Bungie looking at that, I think the lesson would be don't do that because what the game ended up being was not what was in that video.
But does anybody really care?
It was still a shooter.
Yeah, does anybody really care?
A third person
shooter. So it's not exactly what was revealed. I don't know how if anybody was extremely disappointed.
Dude, people were extremely disappointed that you didn't get more than four levels on Earth in Halo 2 because Earth was in the trailer. I think Bungie's probably pretty sensitive to managing expectations at this point, given how large their audience has become.
Yeah, but if they're willing, but see, I would go with that if that was how they were presenting it from beginning to end, but that wasn't what they were saying. They were saying, wait till you see this moment and this stuff, which means that it's, well, this would be the implication. It's not vaporware. They have it working and they say, look at these two people playing. Look at their eyes. That's what, and it's like, well, then show us. And so that's all I was saying. When I know this date about, well, still a year away, and I wanted to just bring up that. They've done it before where they've shown stuff. And I don't know. And again, when we talked last time about it, maybe there are circumstances. And again, we kind of talked about the Sony PlayStation reveal. Maybe that caused them to have to pull back. And maybe when Xbox gets through the reveal, we're going to see a lot more. Maybe that's going to be a surprise in like a month or something. And maybe that's why all that happened. But
I think a little more. I think it would be impolitic of them to dump a huge more amount of content on an Xbox announcement, given that the relationship with Sony is the new one, I would expect that what we'd see would be, a steady flow of additional content over a relatively long period of time. I think what they want to do is that they want to engage the fan base and the press over a longer thing rather than just doing a big dump and saying, okay, this is E3 or GDC or whatever it is and saying, here's everything.
That makes it, but that's more effective to me because I find that the games that I typically end up enjoying the most are the games that I either find out about shortly before release or games that I find out about and then pick them up because they're already out. Because I really do think, I mean, I can only speak in my experience, but I think that the hype and the waiting, it in a sense always disappoints you because what your imagination is always better than what you get. You know what I mean? So I would much, in my opinion, I would much rather have them give me fewer, larger chunks over a shorter period of time than, a slow buildup, so that my imagination doesn't run wild and I'm thinking about, what it could be. And then when you get it, the reality sets in. Does that make any sense?
I see what you're saying. I don't mind it because I enjoy the buildup itself. But you're right. It inevitably leads to a certain tempering of your expectations once you get the final product. I mean, and there's nothing new about that either, I would say. I mean, that to some extent affected my reaction to Halo 1 and certainly with Halo 2.
The Cortana campaign, by the way, was started on February 15th, 1999.
He's looking up the Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah. So there is their tantalizing marketing for the hardcore fans. Months before it was shown in July.
You know that was not a sanctioned part of any campaign anyway.
Oh, come on. Of course it wasn't. It was sanctioned then. It was afterwards when the guy who wrote it became a loon that it was dumped.
Wait a minute. He wasn't a loon before?
He was always a loon.
To be fair, though, how long have we known about Destiny, and how long has Bungie been teasing it? Like, for at least a year and a half, we've known it's coming, and we've known they've been working on this game.
Has it really been that long?
No. I wouldn't call them saying we got something coming, and it's those are not teasing.
When did we actually know it was called Destiny? Because
it's one of those things where they were showing us hints all
the
along.
The Vidoc before the last one, the Brave New World Vidoc.
With the windmills, yeah.
Right, posters in Halo, you know, the posters that show, you know, your destiny awaits or whatever it was, with the logo there. I mean, they sprinkled
it about.
There'll
be people who say, you know, there aren't any windmills in Destiny. Damn it, I was promised windmills. Where are my windmills? Don't show anything if you're not going to go in the game.
Yeah, I heard that we were going to be able to aim and fire cannons at those windmills from orbit, and we haven't heard and seen anything like that at all.
I haven't heard that. Where are you listening to?
Item 5, Class Act. Halo Reach had loadouts that gave player a choice of different starting weapons, but it looks like Destiny is going to have real honest-to-goodness player classes like an RPG, and we know of at least 3 so far, the Hunter, the Warlock, and the Titan. Do you like this change? Why or why not? And have you picked out a favorite class? Cody, start with you.
I'm ambivalent about that, but about the Warlock and the magic thing, it's just it's a little strange because Bungie's already – they've always kind of been on the side of hard sci-fi, or at least closer to hard sci-fi. So when you've got magic in your game, it's just – it's a little strange. But, I can accept that. It's not going to bother me. But I'm okay with classes. It's fine. It's just another choice that the player can have that's not inherently bad. I don't really have anything to say about that.
Okay, Miguel.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't care. I'll wait until I actually see it and then decide if it was worth it or not. It could just be a minor difference between the different characters. I mean, it is a bit of a step away from their previous philosophy that, you know, every person playing could do what every other person playing was doing, but as you said, over time that's been kind of shifting. So I can't really say either or if it's going to be terrible or not. I mean, the game might be created in such a way that it would compel you to want to be in different classes and would be really exciting to play as different types of units. And now, whether or not it becomes a thing where being one or the other, I'm sure this could turn into a big Cody kind of sidebar here, where
all right, I'm ready.
Where it's, you know, where it becomes a more skill based in one versus the other, and then though the casuals are always going to be drivers, and the hardcore are always going to be snipers, and that whole, and then that could become something of interest that you see a schism developing between the different people who are playing, and then you wind up with maps that don't have as many people playing because it's all casuals, and you know, anyway, that could turn into something, but at this point, it's way too early to really say what it is.
See, that makes me wonder too, because you look at games like World of Warcraft that have lots of different classes, and you know, each of the classes have different skills, and you know, because there's so many people playing, that you know, people will find ways to combine skills and abilities in a way that the developer never thought. So there's lots of patches, and I know that you know, patches on Xbox Live are very expensive. So I'm just wondering how frequently they're going to release like balance changes, when people figure out you know that a certain class can you know exploit a certain area or whatever.
Well, maybe it would depend what you have to patch, whether you're patching the class attributes or the area itself. For instance, if it's always online, they may be able to change the attributes of classes without a patch. If you're, for instance, if that's just a question of like some stats that are on the server that say players in this class have these attributes, they could change that on the fly the way they change a playlist, because you don't need to do a title update to change a playlist. Anyway, Blackstar, what about you? What about you?
As far as the loadouts go, I only really had a chance to experiment very much when we were doing custom games more than anything else, because I was never a big multiplayer user in Reach. So as far as that goes, as far as pushing the game forward, in first player perspective, because you have the drop-in, drop-out aspect or the group aspect, I'm wondering if it's going to be a dynamic that's going to be required to have diversity in your group. you know, basically to continue on to the story, you can't have four or five warlocks. You're going to need to have more, diverse section of weapons and capabilities to push the story forward. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself having problems or disadvantages at certain aspects of the campaign.
Maybe the drop in, drop out will put those players in with you if you don't bring a balanced party.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, this is all speculation at this point, but I was just curious about that. That's what made me think of it first. Whether I like it or not, I would have to play it first, to tell you the truth, because I don't have that much experience as far as that in any other titles, because, like you said, I'm a casual. So as far as that goes, I'm not really worried about it. I'm hoping that you know, faith in Bungie is enough that they will do a dynamic and a setup that, A, it won't be too complicated, and, B, it won't ruin gameplay or misbalance things, because their big thing has been balance, you know, forever. They're always about getting that teeter scale and the fulcrum just in the right spot. So I'm getting a feel that maybe if they experience it enough, that people will enjoy it. But yeah, as far as the griefing aspect, though, yeah, if you have a game where this one warlock and 53 sniper guys, yeah, I could see where that would be a problem. So how that's going to be implemented or what aspects of it they give you plus and minuses per. Yet I'd have to see to find out to really make a judgment. But as far as it being worrisome, not so much, and certainly not anything I've seen so far to make me not want to get the game. I'm still in the curiosity aspect of it.
Okay, well, I happen to think it's an interesting move. Having played a lot of the Mass Effect games where you do have that kind of thing, where at the beginning when you start a character, you pick some background information, including a player class, I think that is potentially interesting. I always tend to like stealth play, so I probably pick like the hunter class. But again, I think it may have a lot of replay value in terms of going back and making new characters and having a stable of characters and playing through different levels as different classes. Let's wrap this up and let's do some final thoughts, starting with Miguel.
It looks very interesting. I can't wait to see more. I think they for this hardcore gamer, they messed up the reveal. I was not happy with it, but you know, they have a lot in the bank with me, and so I'm just waiting to hear what comes up next. And here's hoping for some more solid information going down the as we approach this year-long trip of down marketing lane.
Okay, Blackstar, final thoughts.
Still in anxious anticipation, I guess. Well, maybe not anxious, but I'm still looking forward to seeing what's coming down the pike. I'm just hoping that at some point we do actually get some 360 information or even some PC or Mac information, components of it that they're wanting to introduce and creating something hopefully either wholly original or at least taking the best parts of all the different games that they're trying to incorporate, all the different ideas and different aspects of it. They're incorporating the best of them all, and they're not bringing along the problems and issues that have already been established and are with other systems and games and designs. I'm really just in a wait-and-see type of mode. So if and when something's going to be coming down the pike that is going to be piquing my interest, I'm definitely going to be paying more attention to it. They've got the art. They've got the you know, the world design. You know, you could definitely tell that they're putting some more interest into that, and they want to bring out this big epic story. And I don't know whether having the whole 10-year arc with Activision is a good thing or a bad thing, you know, because if your expectations are so high over the next decade of getting into this world and they don't nail you the first time out, then they've got a lot of work more on the back end trying to get people to come in who didn't like the first title. So yeah, it's definitely a wait and see mode for me, but I'm definitely interested enough to keep looking.
Cody, final thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a Bungie fan for forever, but I don't know. I have doubts about Destiny. Not so much doubts about the game quality. I'm sure Bungie will make a good game, but I'm not sure if it's the type of game that would interest me. So I, you know, because I've been a Bungie fan, I will, you know, follow it, and I will certainly be interested in knowing more about it. Whether or not I'll play it, I'm not sure, but I'm not ruling it out. So, you know, I'm actually kind of intrigued and excited to see what comes up in these future announcements.
Okay, well, my final thought is that I'm also pretty interested in the game. I have to admit, I had more doubts about Halo than I had about this. I thought that going to console and going back to making a AAA shooter from their previous titles was a big jump. Marathon was kind of a slight evolution on the current, you know, on what was the current state of the art of the FPS when they released it. And mostly it was interesting because of the scenario they built around it and because it was on the Mac first and not on, you know, not on Windows. They did that later. And then Myth, its wrinkle was not really a production value wrinkle. It was the gameplay thing of removing the resource management and just focusing on Battlefield tactics. And I thought to leap from that straight back to, we're going to go to the forefront of the you know, of the shooter genre and go up head to head with Epic and id Software. I wasn't sure that they were going to be able to do that. And I think they pretty much pulled it off. So I think I've actually got fewer doubts about their ability to execute on their vision now than I did then. In terms of my interest, I have no problem with the vision they put forward to the game, except for the fact that, you know, my internet connection being limited the way it is, if it's always on, drop-in, drop-out co-op, I'm not sure how that will work for me. I was really excited to see them add online co-op to Halo, but I can't actually play it. Because, you know, my internet connection being what it is and ends up being a slideshow. Having said that, I am getting an upgrade to fiber to the premises in the next month or so. So by the time Destiny gets here, maybe that won't be an issue for me. So
that's definitely good to hear. So
thanks to everybody for participating, and thanks to everyone who's listening. See you next time.
Bye.
Yay.